Committee would come to order, please. This is the Senate State Affairs Committee. It is April 5th, approximately 3:35 in the afternoon. We have two items, members who are present at this time, Senator Huggins, myself, and Senator Wagner. This is Senator Terrio. We have two items up, and Senator Elton has just joined us. We have a confirmation hearing for, Colonel Tony Hart, who has just stepped upstairs, hopefully will be joining us soon. And we also have, on the bills previously heard, Senate Bill 134. We have Senator Bundy and staff here. And just to refresh the committee members, the bill was introduced and brought up in the committee previously. A /Y version was adopted as the working document before the committee. And Senator Bundy, last we spoke, you had been waiting for an amendment from the Department of Public Safety. Hasn't come, and you've grown weary of waiting, is my understanding.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've concerned about imposing on the patience of the committee, and it isn't likely that that amendment will arrive this week. So I thought perhaps this does have a further referral to Judiciary, that the amendment could be addressed in the Judiciary Committee.
It's also my understanding that there's a chance the bill may pick up a fiscal note, too. So, you've got the indeterminate fiscal note, don't you? So it may, in fact, get a finance referral, too. So,
right.
With that, do members have questions on the action previously taken or questions on the content of the bill? Senator Elton.
Just to refresh my memory, and I apologize to the sponsor, because I know we had this discussion, I just can't remember what it was, but on page 2 of /Y, the concern that people had, beginning on line 15, the concern that people had that, for example, in a situation in which an officer, this language allows for officer discretion if, in fact, they're going after bigger fish. Is that
That would be correct, and Mr. Chairman, if I might, I wish to acknowledge that, Chief Monaghan's here. I would like, if there's opportunity for him to comment on the bill as well. It's a thin line that we're walking here. I don't want to tie the hands of police officers, and I think in the larger departments, they do have standards that probably wouldn't require this legislation. However, you know, it's a broad and diverse state, and perhaps the standards need to be available for those that haven't chosen to adopt local standards. And I'd like to point out that I think the main focus of this legislation would be in Section 2, where the Police Standards Council would adopt minimum standards. And much like other boards and commissions that we have, would then also be in charge of enforcing those standards. I think this is a place to go where the legislature doesn't tread too heavily on one side of that gray area or the other, but professional police officers who would be members of the Police Standards Council would establish their minimum standards. And this is focused on sexual assault, because as I unfortunately don't have to remind the committee, Alaska is the nation leader in sexual assault, and so as our citizens travel throughout the state, I think it's fair that we ask that they can presume that there will be a standard of police investigation should they be a victim. Well, what we don't want to do is, as too often happens, that the victims are re-victimized by the system.
Do you have follow-up questions?
And maybe a question that the senator can ignore, but it may give the chief an opportunity to think about it a little bit more. I mean, one of the concerns, obviously, is from Section 2, is that it's very difficult to craft a recipe for what's appropriate and then apply it in a real-world situation where things don't often fit a recipe. Senator Bundy, you might want to react to that, but I guess that's a concern that I have that maybe the chief would want to address also.
Again, I share that concern, and then I share the concern of the citizens who want some expectation of a standard reaction or investigation of a crime that they're a victim of.
And Senator Bundy, that was the change from the CS, or in the CS was the narrowing of the scope on that section 2, wasn't it? Previously,
yes.
It applied to all crimes or all violent crimes, and you've narrowed it down to the sexual assaults.
That's correct. And I confess it's been a while, too. Did your committee adopt the blank CS that we had provided?
Yes, it's my understanding that was adopted as the working document before, so that is the document we're considering. Okay. Senator Wagner?
Will we be ready for a motion?
Did you want some comments on the record?
I really would appreciate it if the chief would have an opportunity to comment.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Walt Monaghan. I'm the Chief of Police of the Anchorage Police Department. I've actually been in a lot of dialogue with the Senator's office in regards to this issue, and that there are some concerns not only from the professional organizations of Alaska Association Chiefs of Police, but also the Alaska Police Standards Council in regards to legislating basically investigations. The closest I think we've ever come to it has been in what was done with the domestic violence issues. And I think what was done there actually was very appropriate because it gave us some tools. My initial reaction when it was first looked at in regards to some of the cases that how the language was stated earlier is that it could be very complicated in cases of multiple defendants where you're actually using one to reel in other defendants as well, or in cases of where we are going to try to enhance a case through non-custodial interview, if you are familiar with that, what that is. In essence, I could suspect or believe that you are a party to a crime, and I could feel that I have enough probable cause to make that arrest, but the case could be strengthened if I invite you in, I set you down, I interview you with the promise that I'm not going to arrest you following that interview. And then you're free to go at any time. Courts have recognized that as what they call a non-custodial interview. And we use that continually in strengthening cases. Plus, we also find additional details usually where there may be other accomplices or other evidence that we need to gather. So if a bill or a law was constructed that mandated basically you need, once you had probable cause, you must make an arrest, I think that is the largest objection that both ACOP and APSC as well as many other departments would have, because it kind of ties your hands in further investigative techniques. But as far as setting standards and holding people accountable to, I absolutely agree with that. I think perhaps probably the best tool would be using Alaska Police Standards Council, and maybe such a thing as an audit team that perhaps can go out there and do periodic audits, where they would they'd be members of other departments. I could show up at your doorstep along with a couple of other individuals, or just myself, for example, and say, I understand you've had 5 cases here. I'd like to look at 3 of them. And just kind of make recommendations and try to help elevate and remind people that we are entrusted with public trust, with an expectation. And that shoddy workmanship or investigation actually only victimizes the victim again. So for those kind of issues, I would be in strong support of something that elevates the standard and expectation of both the department and the community that it serves. Questions?
Questions?
Senator Elton. Thanks, Mr. Chair. So, Chief, when you're talking about, you know, the stuff that can get in the way of an investigation that you or another department may be doing, are you comfortable then that the language in Section 1 gives you the kind of discretion where you can make those individual judgments on, for example, a non-custodial?
This program.
I'm going to take that out. If I might, Mr. Chair.
Might pull the microphone over just a little.
Wonderful day when the student teaches the teacher. We have a history. And as I said, this is a gray area. It was a difficult call. The main focus of the bill for me is the standards set by the Police Standards Council. And I think perhaps the bill would be improved after listening to Chief Monaghan if you and your wisdom would entertain removing Section 4.
For Section
1? Number 4 of Section 1.
Number 4.
So, Senator Bundy, if we were to remove that new language, the entire first section of the bill would drop away, wouldn't it? Because that's... The whole Section 1 is just the addition of that language, I believe.
That's existing language.
Right. Yeah. So if we drop it from the bill, then
we would just revert to existing language. And we would then have the new subsection, or Section 2 with a new subsection that asks that the Police Standards Council establish standards and provide, I don't want to say enforcement, but perhaps
oversight.
Well, at the request of the prime sponsor, then I will move that Section 1 of the bill be stricken. That will leave all of the non-highlighted language in statutes as it is, and just we'll drop off that new suggested 4, which appears on page 2, lines 15 through 19. Is there any objection to the motion?
Not an objection, but...
Senator Elton, question?
Mr. Chair, do we then drop Section 3 because it speaks...
No,
that would
stay the same. And if we do drop off the Section 1, it will also trigger a title change. Okay. So is there objection? Seeing none, then Section 1 will be dropped from the bill, leaving the remaining two sections. We'll have the drafters draft that up and renumber and change the title. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Chief Monaghan, when I think about this, as I recall, probably each of your officers has the Miranda card. So whenever they are in the process or may think they're going to make an arrest, they use the Miranda card, which is kind of a checklist.
That's correct.
Person that today lands a 737 out here has a checklist. So my point is, you know, I think some of the mechanics that Senator Bundy is working here may not exactly fit the scenario, but it does give you a playbook whereby that, you know, quite frankly, most of us in your business, it's repetition. It may be a different person doing the crime, maybe a different officer that does the arrest or the investigation, but the checklist part of it's not all bad. And so as I read this, you know, I tend to be more supportive of Senator Bundy than not, because it appears to be a systematic approach that probably may be your best ally at some point in time. However, my concern would be if it is going to put a set of manacles on you, would slow you up in the process. And your concerns as far as what the implications might be?
Actually, sir, the idea of a checklist or a recipe is an excellent one, and I could see that being applied in many different areas. I would hope that the most logical kind of body that should reside in or be compiled in would be APSC, Alaska Police Standards Council. Because right now, what their primary function is to make sure that the training is up to snuff so that they can certify all police officers. Should I ever lose my certification, I can no longer be employed as a police officer in this state. It follows logic, and I've had conversations with APSC about this, and I think everybody would be in agreement to the fact that it is good to have high standards. It is good that we complete the investigation as well as we can. And in some cases, sir, perhaps in the smaller communities where these types of crimes or any kind of crimes may not be as frequent as they are in larger urban areas, you're right. And you may have a young and inexperienced officer who just kind of flounders and kind of guesses. I think there are many avenues that we could try to address that, but probably the most expeditious one would be, you know, developing a recipe or a checklist that would be part of a training manual or something that APSC should put together in cooperation with law enforcement all across. It could be detailed out, so if there's an expertise in one particular area, field, or something that... Like for example, I couldn't tell you how to process a fish and game violation, but I can about sexual assault and burglary, for example. So I think, to comment on your statement, it would be very helpful, especially in the smaller communities.
You know, I'm not putting words in Senator Bundy's mind, but just sort of superimpose this network. And it appears to me that, you know, one of the challenges we have is, in this case, Senator Bundy is trying to reach across the law enforcement community, and he may have you perfectly tuned and coming in loud and clear, but if you go to Nome or Fairbanks or Wasilla, then, you know, what's to say we can get there from here? Because they're not sitting here today. They may not have the same appreciation. So I think we're trying to figure out how to reach all these places. Is that right, Senator Bundy?
Yeah.
Anyway. Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, what is the will of the committee?
CS for Senate Bill number 134 /Y with amendments. And we have a fiscal note in here someplace, I believe.
Four fiscal notes.
And attached fiscal notes.
Is there objection to the motion? Seeing none, the CS will move from committee. Thank you. Well, next, that brings up our confirmation overview. We have General Tony Hart here. General, if you'd like to come forward, please. We've received and distributed background information on your educational background and whatnot. The purpose of the overview is just to have an opportunity for the general public to express concern on your nomination. I think I speak for the members that myself and the committee staff was not contacted by anybody that expressed any concern. But we want to offer you an opportunity to highlight anything on your resume that you would like to. And then our ultimate action today is just to forward the nomination to possibly be taken to this full Senate floor, or actually before a joint session. So with that, if you'd like to highlight whatever you'd like to on your resume.
Well, thank you, Senator. Obviously, the resume does not get into the personal background. However, let me say that I think the resume almost speaks for itself, although it does not probably give the indication of the National Guard service that I've done. I have been a Guard member since 1988, and I think that was one of the reasons that the commissioner decided to bring me to the state of Alaska is my experience in the Guard overall with my weapon system in the C-130s, and also with my experience with Air Mobility Command. As you can see from my biography, spent quite a lengthy time at Scott Air Force Base, which was the major command, Air Mobility Command, working on the different staffs, the Inspector General, the Director of Operations, and then for the Commander of Air Mobility Command. Where the Commissioner wants to go with the transformation of the state of the Air National Guard, and that transformation as it affects Coolis, is an important one, as he is trying to talk to our national leaders about the future of this wing and the acquisition of C-130J models, which are the newest and most efficient of the 130s that are being built. Our airplanes at Coolis are, because of age and because of the way they're used, are getting old. And so with that transformation coming forward, the commissioner's opinion was that in looking at the available candidates for this position, because of my experience at the MAGCOM, at the Major Command, and my experience with the National Guard Bureau, that I would be a good fit. Personally, let me say that my wife and I are here, and we are being engaged in the community, in the state. We've bought a home, and we're looking forward to moving into that. She has already started working, actually, with Commissioner's wife with Operation Santa Claus, and to getting involved with that. And as you may know, that's one of the bigger operations that we do at Coolis. And she's invited to be, I think she'll be, probably be invited to be on the board of directors. So she's getting involved with that. So we're looking forward to being a part of the community. She was a real estate broker in our present location. She'll probably do that here as she takes her test this coming week or in the next week or two. And so this is exciting for us. And I'd be happy to entertain any pertinent questions that you may have.
Just curious, do you have children with you, or grown children, or?
Well, we have five grown children, five daughters actually. Our youngest was living with us before we left. She's 20, and right before we left the state of Illinois, she decided that she would not come with us, and she got her own place, her own apartment, and is doing well. However, that may change. She's going to visit us in the summer, and she may decide to stay after that. So,
Senator Huggins.
Mr. Chair, if I might just make a couple of points on Colonel Hart's behalf. Number one, Tony and I met yesterday, as I recall. Yeah, yesterday, and we had a good discussion with General Campbell. But the thing I would ask us to recognize as what his sitting here today really represents. General Campbell has done some magnificent things for Alaska National Guard kind of business. In this case, unspoken is his endorsement, in this case of Tony, to become Brigadier General. He brings him from the outside to take over a significant leadership position, which is a major vote of confidence, because it breaks the culture a little bit, but by and large, what we see is a guy that has graduated from all the officer courses, to include Command and Staff College, the Air War College, and then now comes to us as a master navigator to be at the helm of the leadership of the organization, which is a vote of confidence by General Campbell, which I'm certainly willing to endorse, because most of us have met him and had contact with him and have great respect for his judgment and what that represents. And I say congratulations to you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, what's the will of the committee?
I'd move we forward. Is he a brigadier or is he still a colonel?
No, I'm colonel, sir.
I would move that we forward Colonel Tony Hart's name to the joint session for confirmation.
Without objection, and you will forward the name, and we do have a letter to our members to sign.
Welcome to Alaska.
Thank you, Senator. Very glad to be here.
And with that, we will adjourn for the day.